Father, we just want to thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to get together this evening. Thank you for your Son, who is getting a great deal of exposure through the Passion, who died for us on the cross, who is our payment. I pray through your Holy Spirit that you will control me, that, Lord, the only thing we heard is what you once said. Teach your servant that others may be taught, and may none of us be the same when we finish. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, that Passion, woo! It's better the second time I saw it than the first. I tried in 3 or 4 scenes this time, but I didn't let nobody see me. It's very dark. There ain't nothing in the world like an ugly black old athlete crying, you know what I'm saying? Ugly sight jackers, okay? Okay. Any questions about the scriptures that we've gone over? Yes, ma'am.
Before praying, confessions, and what else?
Before praying, we're saying if you really want to know scripture, there's 2 things you got to do. One is you got to confess your sins in order to study the scriptures, and you have to ask the Holy Spirit to control you and teach you. Okay? So you got to confess your sins. And you got to ask the Holy Spirit to control you and teach you. Why do we have to ask the Holy Spirit to control us and teach us? That's His role. We're going to talk about that. Hopefully, get to it. Well, yeah, we'll get to some of that tonight. But you have to have the Holy Spirit because He is the one that teaches the Word. How many of you have ever had an experience where you've gotten in the Bible, read something, and it just literally didn't say nothing to you? It didn't mean anything to you. You just go, what in the world? And it's because you can't understand the scriptures without being controlled by the Holy Spirit, because He is the teacher. How many of you would try to go take a class in physics and not have a teacher? Just pick up the book and start studying it. If you're like me,
it'd be pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, physics. Goodness. Physics. Just the thought of it. Whole thing. Give me a what? Teacher. And I don't only want a teacher, I want a good teacher that knows the subject, because it's truly the person that knows something that can make something difficult simple. The more you are confused, the more you get confused, and the more people you're trying to teach gets confused when you don't know something clear that you're teaching. How many of you have ever tried to argue when you was young, when you were dealing with your parents, and you know you're lying, but you've argued with your parents, and they keep asking you, and after a while, you just kind of fall apart, because one lie don't build upon another lie. The foundation starts eroding, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm in trouble. Take the fall, go ahead and get it. But of course, today, you may say, if you hit me, I'm going to call my lawyer. You don't do that in the black community. That only happens in the white community. Because in the black community, they beat you and then tell you to call your lawyer. Can we get an amen somewhere? Citizen, do you discipline your kids? Me? No, I just let them live another day. There we got problems. We got problems. There's no such thing as a generation gap in the hood. I was so poor. We was boys in the woods down there. You know what I'm saying? In Alabama, we used to throw bullets. We had run by throwing. I mean, that was us down there. We didn't have no. Even if you had a car, you didn't have no money to buy gas. You just sit in it. He would drive by you. Some of y'all get it on the way home. That's pretty funny. When we look at scripture, if you're going to be taught, you got to have the Holy what? Spirit, because that is His job to teach you. He is the teacher. And if you're trying to learn something that is 3 times to 10 times more difficult than physics without a teacher, it's a waste of time. That's why you can have intellectual knowledge about the Word, and have absolutely no spiritual enlightenment about the word. Most atheists know the word better than most Christians. Because if you're going to be an atheist, you got to know what you don't believe in. You don't understand that. And they'll kill you with scripture. And you wonder, why? How can they have all that scripture and not have their lives changed? It's because it's an intellectual study. It's an intellectual exercise. And only the Spirit gives life to the Word. How important is the Word? What's the only thing that's true about God? Scripture is all important. The only thing that's true about God is what God has said is true about Himself. And the only thing we can find out what God has said about Himself is where? In the Scripture. Anything that any man has said about God that God did not say is what? Idolatry. Keep that in mind. We're going to say that many times as we go through this. Scripture. Remember, we went down and studied with Scripture. Page 16 in some books, 17 in others. Okay? 16. And what we got? The last thing we talked about last week when we flowed through this was we talked about one was the character of Scripture. What was two? The scope of Scripture. What is three? Yeah, page 16 is yours in your book, back in the back. Page 16. Is it 17 when we're looking at the Scripture? Okay. Why do I got this? See, I got this mixed up book. It's your fault. You guys gave me the wrong book. Oh, I took it. Okay. You see how my helpers? You see my special needs. When you look at it, so you look at number two, it's what? Scope of Scripture. Number three was? The duration of Scripture. What's the next one? The center of Scripture and the job of Scripture, and then all of a sudden it does what after the job of Scripture? Huh? Goes straight to the character of God. Thus, we have been studying the apex of the Trinity without telling you we were studying the head of the Trinity, which was God the Father Himself, the Word, which give the Word and name it, which becomes He, Jesus Christ. If I were to start telling you we're going to start out studying the Scriptures, your brain would have quit. Because we have been taught that that is too far out. You can't understand. That which has been revealed by God of the Trinity, you can understand. That which is not revealed by God of the Trinity is not necessary to understand in order to have faith. Okay? That's why we call it the Godhead. Triunity, three in one. You cannot find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. You know that, right? See, you know it now? You cannot find the word Trinity. The word Trinity is a name man gave the doctrine of God. Triunity, three in one. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. Trinity. The Trinity. That which can be understood as much as has been revealed, that which is not revealed needs to be forgotten. He who tries to understand the Trinity will lose his mind. He who denies the Trinity will lose his soul. As for me and my house, I'm going with faith. Anybody want to join me? Praise be to Jesus. Alright, we're going to look at the Trinity three in one, Old Testament, New Testament, major roles. Is there any way, is that not as bright? I'm going to try that switch, really. Turn that back on, Willie. What you doing? Ah, that's a little better. Thanks, Willie. When we look at when we hold on to the Trinity, it is so misunderstood. Because what man cannot put his hands on, man constantly tries to put a definition to. Have you noticed that? Man does not think that there's anything really outside of him. Give him enough time, we can figure it out. Like the cure to the common cold. Is there a cure to the common cold? Probably is. It's just outside of man's knowledge at this time. At one time, they didn't think that was a cure for polio. But the aspect of the cure was outside of man's knowledge. We're going to get into some couple of things in this class that we're going to go totally against the science of logic. Totally. But the reason why it's going to be outside the mind of logic is because it simply is outside the logic of man, not outside he who has all knowledge, thus there's nothing outside of his knowledge. That's why God can't learn anything. If God learns anything, he ceases to be God. That's why, as a Christian, if you start reading the Bible and Jesus or God ask a question, what is the first thing that should come to your mind? No. No. He has the answer, but why is he asking the question? Make sure you know the answer and make sure you are living it. Huh? Am I the only one having fun? Yeah. Old Testament, we're dealing with the Trinity. Check this out. Ooh. I don't think we're going to be able to read that one. Unless someone got some real good eyes. They messed me up on this one. I guess I better read this one. Old Testament, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. What does it mean, let us make man in our own image? If God knows English, which we know is now Aramaic, huh? That's got to be more than one. And he said, we're going to make man in our image. Thus, it eliminates anything outside that does not and is not God in the hour. It can't be, let's make man in angels in my image. Because angels. You know how fast you're talking when you can't see what you're saying. My tongue got over my eye teeth and I got blinded there in my speech. Ooh, battery is charged. Praise God. How come you guys didn't tell me that? Can't say it, Papa. put some different letters up there and make them bigger. Let us make man out. I mean, that just blows me away. I mean, you know how many scriptures we know that we don't pay attention to? We just take for granted what it is saying when we really don't know what it's saying, and then when you start really looking at what it says, you may not like what it really says. Let us make man in our image. Who must he be talking to then? Got to be talking to the other parts of the Trinity. Who is speaking? That's the first thing you got to figure out. Who's speaking? Which God do you think is speaking? God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? And then you got to figure out which God created, who made man. Was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who made man? You're going to figure that out here when we go through, and you're not going to have to guess anymore after this class. Because you're going to realize that each one of the Trinity, parts of the Trinity, has roles, and neither one ever steps out of their role. When you find out the essence and roles of God, you're going to realize that our relationship is based upon the perfect relationship of God with God. Narrow is what God calls a good relationship. So the you that was in church Sunday understood. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, which means even more that it isn't giving freedom for man to be made outside of what he is. And God has no body, never had a body, was always spirit before man was created. We got a problem. You like that, don't you? This is what's cold now, folks. This is what's really cold when we start talking about God and making man. Why would God make man? If he is totally incomprehensible and totally complete in himself, meaning nothing outside of who he is. Why make that which will fail? And if he did make that which will fail, does that mean that he is not perfect? We're going to answer all those questions in this class. Can I get an amen from somebody? How about a praise the Lord? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let me ask you guys a question. What does it mean God is going to make man in his image, in his likeness? He's going to make man. Can't mean that man's going to look like him, because before man was made, God never had flesh. What was that? Self-aware. What was that other big word you used, Matthew? Intelligent. Angels. Was intelligent. Angels was aware of who he was. Thus, Clark, as King James, was angels made for man. And when men and women die, do we become angels? Because if not, if your grandmother, who died 50 years ago, comes visit you, is it your grandmother? Pretend to be an angel. And by the way, there are no women angels. Hey man, just watch the body, baby. Body can't move like that when it's lying, you know what I'm saying? Woman was not in any need until man was created. There used to be a TV program came on called Gong Show. And when someone says something wrong, they would go, "Gong." Michael? You're on tape, baby. We got you down. Play this to the church. What's the name then, folks? Made in our own image. What's that? The ability to worship and respond to God as he is, with the ability to reject. Do you understand that fellowship between God and man is the only thing that was ever broken with creation? Animals' fellowship with God was never broken. Animals never had the choice to worship the way you and I did, by rebelling. We call it instinct. I have horses and dogs, and you get male dogs and female dogs and male horses and female horses together. Something happens. Babies. If I keep them fed and keep them healthy, they make babies. Do you know, of all the dogs and puppies and little colts and fillies that I've had, that well, my horses and dogs have had, they have never, ever taken a class on how to have babies, how to take care of them, how to cut them umbilical cord, and how to make them well, how to make them go to the bathroom. It's amazing. That baby, first time my, one of my females have babies, they know it's coming. They tell me. And that, you know how I know they know it's coming? They start nesting. And if you don't watch them, they'll disappear. That's why you have to lock up your females before that third week of getting ready to have that baby. When the 3 weeks away, because she'll disappear somewhere and go nest. And a lot of times he nets in private. You know something about a horse? You want to know something about a horse? You don't want to know nothing about no horse. You just been polite. If a horse is in the wild, this is how God is. God is unbelievable. If a horse is out in the big pasture, like on the ranch in Montana, 75,000 acres over there, okay? You got the horses all over the place. If they're out in the main pastures, the 75,000 acres, they'll have that baby in the morning, just as it turned light. Over the house, over here in Redmond, where they're protected and got the barn and everything, they'll have that baby late at night. Can anyone here tell me why? God said, have it at night. You don't want anyone about you. Is that what he said? No. That horse, in the wild, they know they're not safe. So they have that baby doing it first thing in the morning so they can see. And when they get that baby time to get up and exercise and able to run by nighttime. No, that's how they look. But if they're in the barn and protect it, they have that baby at night because they don't want to be bothered. Because there's no danger. And I've seen horses suck them babies up and not have them and can keep them for another week. Because a horse only has a baby when it doesn't have any more room. How would you ladies like to have babies that way? You better be glad fellowship with God was broken, girls. Some of them kids will be 3 years old by the time they get out of there. You ever seen a horse fall down and pray and ask God to bless the hay he's about to receive? Only man has the capability of worship and responding to God. And he made them in our image. And then he says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. You realize before the fall of man, we had dominion over all the animals? You guys are just looking at me like, this guy's nuts. You know, he had the only total dominion. Tyrannosaurus Rex. You guys know what a Tyrannosaurus Rex is, right? Yeah. Tyrannosaurus from Mexico. Yeah. Okay, all right. I just want you to know what it is. The great Tyrannosaurus Rex, we had dominion over him. If he came and got in your yard, can you imagine? If he came and got in your grass, you could just walk out and just get off the grass. You run off. After the fall of man, you ask, would you like some more grass? We still rule because we have the ability to learn and the brains that God has given us the capability of control. We don't have dominion over animals anymore. We were totally in control of animals.
Is that why you think man doesn't understand woman?
We know that man is part dirt. Woman was made from the rib. Spare rib God took for man, made prime rib, called woman. And when Adam said, you tell me what Adam said? Adam woke up out of sleep, looked over at that prime rib, whoa. Man. Whoa. Man. Whoa, man! Whoa, man! Woman, yeah! See, that's why I got a name. Everybody know it. Yeah, bro. Angels used to have a little bit of free will. God took it. After they sinned with woman.
That the angels all came before
man. Oh, yeah. Why? Remember when man, that's where we got the giants from. Angels having sex with women. question. Why didn't any angels get pregnant by man? Only women got pregnant by angels. There you go. Because there was no female, there are no female angels. It's kind of hard to happen if there's none. Simple reason God made sure that man would never understand women, so he still need God.
Because God told me, he said, you know what your problem is? And I said, no. He said, son, you can walk in any book in America and find a book on how to raise a dog. You can't find one on how to raise a cat. How do you listen to that?
You can, it's real easy how to raise a cat. You got to understand how to raise a cat. Don't pay them any attention. They're coming around. No, nope, not cat. They'll survive. Dog or star. Nope. That's because God made him a, created the cat to be a survivor. And God created dogs to be man's best friend. And that's why a woman is the same way. Even though she will hate man, she's driven to man because that's what God has instilled in her. We'll talk about that. And quit giving head in my class. I know you do, bro. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? Up here says O-N-E. One. Now how can he make man in his own image and then the next verse says God is one? That must be a spiritual dilemma that we must understand. Is that a little better? The Godhead in the Old Testament. Genesis 16:7-13. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Who is this talking about? Who is that? Hagar. Everyone know who Hagar is? Hagar was, you know who Abraham and Sarah is. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids. At least that's what they thought. God told them to wait. And he waited 25 years after God gave them the promise they were going to have a child. Abraham was 75 when God gave him that promise. He finally got the son at 100. 25 years later. Sarah was 65 years old. She was 10 years younger than her half-brother. Abraham and Sarah was half-brother and sister. Okay? So when he told Pharaoh, this is my sister, he told a half-truth. Now, we all know that a half-truth makes a whole lie when we're trying to use it. Alright? When it got to be several years in the process, Sarah never believed that the problem of having children was hers. Regardless whose fault it was, if a woman didn't have a child in the Old Testament, who was blamed? The woman. They always blame the woman. Now, if you're a strong-natured woman like Sarah was, do you believe it's your fault? Abraham had a yellow streak down his back wider than the Mississippi River and the other side, too. All right? He gave his wife up twice to save his own skinny neck. Now, that makes a woman really respect you, doesn't it? Oh, please. Now, he gave her up first time when she was about 80-something years old. Second time, he gave her up when she was 89. Because he said that she was so good-looking that the king would kill him for his wife at 89. Talk to the pastor. I will say something. I get in trouble with ladies right now, so I'm not going to say it. Now, if your husband's giving you up a couple of times because he's afraid, and you're getting all the problem, all the blame for not having children, go to an old custom. The old custom was, if you can give your husband a son, not just a child, but a son, you can use some of the slaves. to have a child by. And it'd be just like you had a child. So she went back to an old custom, even though they was walking with God and knew it was wrong. She said, why don't you sleep with my handmaiden Hagar and can have a child? Now, guess what? If Hagar didn't become pregnant, everybody in the clan knows what? I mean, you know, two women not getting pregnant with one common denominator. Everyone would know. But what happened? Hagar got pregnant. And she was walking around. Ain't nothing wrong with your man, baby. And Sarah got angry, viciously angry. Because her plan backfired, I believe. So she treated Hagar so bad with that child that she ran Hagar off. Hagar escaped, ran in the desert. And which one we find Hagar in the desert after running off? And God's going to tell her to go back. But listen to what it says, and he's having a conversation with Hagar. An angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where are you coming from? And where are you going? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. Anyone that got any idea how hard that would be? Let me ask the lady something. How hard is it when God, if you're married, God says submit to your husband? Even though he's a jerk. This is worse. She's got to submit to a woman that hates her because her plan, she ruined the woman's plan.
She already had the baby.
Oh, yeah, she had the baby.
She took the baby,
with her. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with a child, and shall bear a son. But she was pregnant. Excuse me. Shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hands will be against every man. Is that not the Arab race? You see, if Abraham wouldn't have disobeyed God and went and slept with the handmaid, there never would have been Israelites and Arabs. Now Sarah, later on, is going to say, she wanted him to kill that boy. Kick him in the desert and let him die. This happens some 13 to 14 years later. She kicks her out again. And Abraham, the big old masculine man of a man, scared of his wife, was going to do it. And God said, go ahead and do it. I take care of her. And I take care of the child. Now, anyone around here understand why it's not going to be any peace in the Middle East? Because Hagar and Ishmael know that Abraham listened to Sarah and kept Isaac and wanted Ishmael to die in the desert. And if Ishmael would have died in the desert, there never would have been an Arab race. And they got the same dad with the same heritage, supposed to have the same land as far as the Arabs are concerned. And they saying, that's our land. Israel, you tried to kill us. We will never allow you to live in the land with us. And that's what's going on in the Middle East right now. And when you see these little politicians come along and say, well, you both ought to live in the land together with peace, there's no love lost between these half-brothers. So in this church, you guys get the picture now? And everybody says, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God sees me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that sees me. That's more than one God she's dealing with. The one that sees after her, the one that's talking to her, that's more than one God. I got some problems. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the and the And no, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same. And there are differences of ministration, but the same. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same. That's still a Trinity problem, folks. We still got, even though it's one God, we got three. Three. Something's happening here. What's going on? 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. What in the world? We got three again. We got a Trinity problem. God the Father, God the Son, and are we rolling tonight? We got two more than one page. We're going to page 18 tonight. Some books is 19. Is that right? What's that? Okay. This is going to be very important for you and I to gravitate to and understand. If we look at the whole aspects of God, the whole aspects of the Trinity, the whole aspects of the three in one. How important is the Word? What is the only thing that's true about God? Now we're going to talk about the Trinity. How important is the Trinity? And the only thing that's true about the Trinity is what the Trinity says is true about itself. Are we moving too fast? Any questions? Anything we've talked about so far? So if you get confused, raise your hand. Because if you don't raise your hand, I can get the big head and think I'm a great teacher.
Okay,
Deborah.
Not on this subject. You told me last week about the tear. That was a tear, right? When you say, Father, why are thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm. The tear dropped.
Mm-hmm. Why would...
He said, the one time he cried twice in the Bible.
He wondered twice.
What happened?
He wondered twice. He was wowed twice in the Scriptures. Why would... Christ say, why have thou forsaken me, Father? Now, we know Christ is talking to the Father, God, the Father, and the Trinity. And he says, why have thou forsaken me? Why would Christ say that? And why would he say, move this bitter cup from me? Because it wasn't death. He came, he was born to die. And what was the only thing that Christ, being holy, had never experienced? No, he'd been that even several times before because he came as Epiphany in the Old Testament, even before he came to do the transition in the New Testament. What was that? What about sin? Never experienced. So he became sin. And when he became sin on the cross, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had to turn their back on him, which had never happened since eternity past. That's the bitter cup. Don't get confused about what people say. Just praying not to die. It's a lie. Are we ready? This is smoky stuff here, man, because I got some super groovy slack. Talk to me. Woo! Check it out, folks. Is the brother cool? You know, what folks will say right now, let me tell you what y'all, especially white people, hear what y'all saying? That's a recycle sign. Now, how many of you, honest, thought that? Have a second, you don't? Oh, okay. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it, man. Join in. You see, that's a recycle sign. Taking garbage and making something good, right? Huh? And that what it is? Well, what does Jesus do? Takes garbage, sinners, and make them useful. Now, that's one reason I have to use that sign. And those signs, I couldn't find nothing else. Now, let's talk about this. Are you ready? Trick question. I'm telling you it's a trick question before I ask it. So get on your P's and Q's. Which one is greater? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you're taking this class before, be quiet. Who's greater, God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? They're the same. God the Father is greater. You're both right and you're both wrong. If you're talking about God's essence, they're all the same. Can't hear you. If you're talking about God's role, God the Father is the greatest, God the Son is second, and God the Holy Spirit is third. So if I ever ask a question again in this class, who's the greatest? First thing you're going to ask is what? Are you talking about essence? Pastor, are you talking about role? You got to understand this in marriage. In essence, a husband and a wife is the same. In roles, the husband's the greater, the wife submits. So. That's right. But that, it means what? You still got a misconception of what the Trinity is. Because, still I give you an example. Right here you have Hutch the Father. Can't have an amen over there. I got four German chocolate kids. I'm black, my wife's German. German chocolate kids. Have you seen what I'm saying? I'm the father to four German chocolate kids. Right here you got Hutch the husband. Hutch the. And over here, to Eula Mae Hutchinson, I'm Hutch the son. Are you playing with it? Are we dealing with it? Now, there's a problem. When I'm Hutch the son and playing that role to my parents, I cease to be, at the same time, Hutch the husband, dealing with my wife, and I cease to be Hutch the father to my kids. I can move from one role to the other, but I am still the same person. So it's only one in three roles. That's how most people explain the Trinity. Let me tell you what it is. Now, what if I was Hutch? If I was Hutch the father, dealing with my kids 100% of the time, and at the same time, Hutch the husband is spending every day with his wife, and at the same time, Hutch the son is with his folks. Simultaneously, at the same time, not being the same, but never doing anything separate from the other two, never making a decision separate from the other two decisions, and never ever being out of fellowship with the other two, even though I'm in different roles at the same time. That's God. And what I just gave you was idolatry. Because it's man's example trying to explain what God did. Are we rolling? Now let me tell you. In essence, who's the greatest? They're all the same. In role, who's the greatest? Who's second? Who's third? Now, let me ask you a question. In essence, who can be at the top of the triangle? Either one of them. But when it comes to roles, who's got to always be at the top? Who's always second? Who's always third? Now, in marriage, check this out. In marriage, you got God always at the top. The husband takes Jesus' role. Ephesians chapter 5. And the wife takes the Holy Spirit's role. That's why most conviction in a relationship comes from the woman. Because she takes the Holy Spirit role, and it is her role to know if a relationship is bad. If I want to know what a relationship is like, I never ask the guy. Because the guy's going to overshoot or undershoot. And he's not going to shoot at all if he thinks it's bad. He's going to go to the garage. Clean some tubes. Can I get an amen? Can the pastor get an amen from somebody on the east side? Now check this out. In the roles, does God ever get out of his role? Does God the Father ever get out of his role? No. Does God the Son ever get out of his role? Does God the Holy Spirit ever get out of his role? Now what if, this is what you got to understand. You got to understand the Trinity, because if you don't understand the Trinity, you can't understand relationships. You don't understand relationships, you don't have a good one. And if you don't understand the difference of essence and roles in relationships, you may think you got a good one, and next thing you know, you're divorced. How many times does it happen? Now check this out. This is what's smoking. This is a perfect example of perfectness having a relationship with perfectness. The Holy Trinity. You add the husband or a man, and you add a woman or a wife, you have the unholy Trinity trying to live and reflect that which is holy. Is anyone fluent with the pastor? Now why is it then if the perfect relationship says you can never get out of your role, but always know how you are in your essence, because the minute you get out of your role, you just messed up a God called a relationship. That's what I teach in my relationship class. Now, what if the Holy Spirit got tired of his role? What if the Holy Spirit said something like this? No one understands me. They're even trying to write books about me. I'm tired of being third. Every time somebody talks about it, it's Jesus this and Jesus that. I just look at God the Father just sitting up there like he's a big man. Would that be absolutely strange? What if Jesus Christ got tired of his role? He said, you know what? I'm tired of this blood stuff. Every time we turn around, talk about the blood of Jesus. Blood is. You hear the Father talking about blood? You hear the Holy Spirit talking about blood? No, he's like a little guy just firing them out, convicting folks. I'm always tired, always hungry on the cross. I'm tired of this, though. What would that do to that relationship? Can you hear it? Certainly mess it up, wouldn't it? Let me give you a little secret. Let's substitute the unholy Trinity and see why we have bad relationships in marriage. Wife has a role. She don't like it anymore. I'm tired of always submitting. I don't like submitting. No, it's all right. What you want? What you want to do? What you want to do? I'm so tired of it. Why should I be my family going to go back? What's happened to that relationship God just built? What about the husband? Oh, mighty Joe Kung, who just took Jesus' place. Jesus says, for the church, for the Holy Spirit, I commit sacrifice. I die. But he never, the husband goes, you know what? You think going to work is fun? Oh, you think I'm having fun doing this? As a matter of fact, I tell you what, I ain't going to work no more. You go to work. I'm going to stay home with the kid. I'm going to look at soap operas all day. I'm tired of being man in this house. I ain't gonna do it no more. What just happened in the relationship? If God the Father never get out of his role, God the Son never get out of his role, and God the Holy Spirit never get out of his role, if you don't have a perfect relationship, you never get out of your role. You never get tired of it. Now, what is the only way that you can't get tired of it and can't get out of it? Boy, the black man threw some at you, didn't I? What's the only way? What's that? Talk to the Father? Did I do that loud or was that cool? What's cool, didn't I? You know, I'm all about image. You know that, right? I'm all about self image. I just get it. You guys not listening. Where did I get my self-image from? Did I get my self-image from my essence? Or do I give my self-image to my role? If you get your self-image from a role, you are a miserable, exasperated, stinking person to live with. You are a mess, M-E-S in other words. Miserable, exasperated, stinking. Can't hear you. If a woman gets her self-image from her role, the submission role, she's miserable. She's miserable. If a man gets his self-image from his role, it's according on what he's doing for him to be have a good self-image. If he's got a job that he loves, he's got a good self-image. If he's got a job that he hates and lost it and no one likes it, he's miserable to live with. Where does God expect you and I to get our self-image from? From our essence. Psalms 139. You are wonderfully made. In the image of God, you and I are made. And we get our self-image from our essence of who we are. What I do doesn't affect me. And we got too many Christians and too many non-Christians that are based who they are on what they do. They base their self-image on what they drive. Let me ask you guys a question. Hold on now. You ever seen a guy that's a nerd when he's at work? He can walk out of work, put on a leather jacket, throw his leg across a motorcycle, and he's the coolest thing in the world. The same guy that was a nerd at the work. He gets all of his self-image from that big hog. Oh, hey, he maybe a guy walks up just kind of frayed and fragile and put a guitar in his hand. Elmo Fudd just turned into Jimi Hendrix. Where's this at? Where's he getting his self-image from? How about a woman? How about a woman? Can't catch that ding, ding. Oh, no. Yeah. Hey, somebody ought to write a song about that. You know what I'm saying? A woman that's been to the paint body shop. Wait a minute. Hold on here. Any of y'all got cable? Any of you Christians in here got cable? We have cable. Am I lying or dying? How many of you seen this show? I got four women in my house. Excuse me. Three. I got three women in my house. And sometimes there's things on TV. When I walk by, I got to see. A show called Extreme Makeover? I can't hear any of you. Now, we're not talking about makeover. Extreme makeover. Take them 8 weeks. They fly to L.A. And there's some guys. But a guy with a extreme makeover never look as good as a woman with a extreme makeover. Have you ever noticed that? Come on, girls. If a guy is ugly, he's just ugly. You know what I'm saying? A woman, it kind of reminds me of the guy. Came home, was Christian, got married, came home, and made it went to the honeymoon, and all of a sudden, she starts getting undressed. And she pulls false eyelashes off. She wiped off makeup. Pulling off a wig. Fake breasts. Pads. Put them in the drawer. He said, how did they make love to me, honey? He said, the woman I made love to is in the drawer. You better put her back on. That pastor's a sick dude, isn't he? But when you're an ugly dude, there's no makeup. That's one. Keys to a Porsche. That'll get a good looking woman. You know why I know that? Look at some of the basketball players. I have some brothers, that picture is in the dictionary under ugly. They still get some of the best looking women anywhere. Why? Money.
If you know what's just amazing, say that about the ethics of those people. I think it's people right now. The only way they can be who they are is by their role.
It's by their role.
Because their role is, I'm on fire. I'm going to treat you like dirt. And you catch them outside, they don't know.
Let me tell you something. You tell me the difference. You ladies who watch Extreme Makeover, tell me the difference in that woman who walks in that limo to go get changed and the woman who steps out of that limo after she's had that Extreme Makeover and tell me her self-image isn't based on what she looks like. You got to pick two ugly ones to look better. And they always go to the bathroom together. Women don't go to the bathroom alone. It's a communal thing. You know why? You can talk about what you've been looking at when you get in the bathroom. See, I'm a pastor. I know some things. Ladies and gentlemen, now, do you, then the only way, just think if the world would understand that you are who you are by what God has created you to be, what God has made you to be, instead of what Glamour Magazine and 17 and everything else try to make you what you are, because the minute you don't look or act or be in that job, you are a miserable person to deal with. But when you can find someone to get their self-image and their essence, know they were made by God. He made you wonderfully, beautifully. If you are thin, if you are wide, if you are white, if you are black, if you are tall, if you are short, it is not you. Do you understand that? God is not you. Huh? You see, let me explain it to you. The real you is looking out of what houses the real you, looking at not the real me, but what houses the real me, looking out of what houses me, looking at what houses you. How in the world are we going to allow ourselves, who was made by God, be so determined to have our self-image based on what we do or how we look? Because the world told you that. Now, God, even the Bible tells that Jesus Christ in his human form was nothing to look at. He looks nothing like Jim Caviezel. Jim Caviezel is a nice looking guy. Jesus was plain and nothing at all to look at. Guess what he was? Guess who he was, though? Can you imagine Jesus' 15th high school reunion? Guess who Jesus turned out to be? And now you're like, being hand brother, sister to Jesus. Who do you think you are, God? Are we rolling now? What time is it? Oh, man, we got it. Having fun yet? Trinity, baby. We're talking about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who's the greatest? So you're asking pastor in essence or roles? I'm asking in essence. Who's the greatest? They are the same. In roles. Between a husband and wife, a man and a woman, who's the greatest? We're talking about essence and roles. See, you're getting it, baby. You're getting it. In essence. You're the same. In roles. Husband. But girls, you don't have to submit to a man if not your husband. No commitment union there. That's why God says in relationships, when you just want to live together, it don't work. You can build relationships that way. Woo, baby! And after a while, you think you got a good thing, and all of a sudden, that insecurity caught coming in on that third person of the Trinity. Because it's built in innate in her to belong and be a part and complete her. And she can never be a completer if she's not a wife. Should we move from this one? Because we're getting too close on conviction? Okay. Definition of essence. Uh-oh. Start that. The quality or quantity of a thing that gives it its identity. The indispensable properties of a thing. It is who you are, how God has made you, wonderfully made. That's where you must get your self-image from. Because if you get your self-image from your essence, you're always the same. You know what's so strange about what people say about me when they meet me? So, man, you're Hutch. And then when they meet me at church, man, you're Hutch. They meet me on the street, man, you're Hutch. They meet me on the field, ouch. Oh, no, you're Hutch. How about this? Now, tell me something. Why do people act differently in different places? You know why? Because they get their self-image from their role and what they're doing. And you can never trust a person to get their self-image from their role of what they're doing, because they're changed according to what they're doing and not doing. But a person who builds his self-image on his essence is like the Rock of Gibraltar. Come see, come saw, whatever comes, that's who you see, that's who you find, and you know how they're going to be. And that's eliminate a lot of people. Oh, yeah. But the only way you can do it is to have Christ in your life to understand that you are wonderfully, fearfully, gorgeously made. And let me give you a secret. Anybody that will walk up to a mirror, look in the mirror, and say, I am ugly, always thinks according to the world standards. You're telling God, who created everything, that he made a mistake on you. Get off of it, you selfish beings. The most greatest act of selfishness in the world. Yes, ma'am. If you can make yourself look better, make yourself look better. No, you're saying you're ugly. And no one's going to come along and say, you're ugly. Oh, I am? Well, I need a makeover. The only reason you're saying that they're saying you're ugly is because you've already said I'm ugly. Listen to some of the testimonies on those extreme makeovers. Don't say, let me give you a secret, folks. Paint by the shop, make it look good. Look good, lady. Because whatever it takes to get a man, it takes three times as much to keep him. So watch what you do to get them. Because of the law of diminishing returns, means you can't go back to doing the same thing to keep the same emotion and excitement going. Guys, whatever it takes to get a woman, it's 10 times to the 10th power. You see, man's made out of dirt. God took dirt, breathed into it, made man. So the real man was made from that which was not living. Women was made from that which is living. Which is harder to take care of, dirt or a steak? What's harder to take care of? Steak. Dirt, you just kick a little bit, put a little fertilizer, it'll grow. Trying to do that with a steak, kicking around, somebody says, put some fertilizer on, eat it, it'll kill you. You're going to have an amen somewhere in this room. See, a man is nothing but a tractor. A woman is a Lamborghini. Tractor. You can leave it out in the mud, in the dirt, in the rain, put a little starter fluid, boom, it's ready to move. Plow, give it some love. Try that with a Lamborghini. You wax it. Back off, look. Slam again. You better wax me some more. And a man turns around and tries to teach a Lamborghini like a tractor. Didn't I tell you when we got mad, I love you? But change my mind, I let you know. Until then, I love you. Lamborghini's over there. That's me. You know what's so amazing? Tractor, crank that stuff up, put some deals in it. Boom, you're gone. Lamborghini, you don't crank it up for 6 or 7 months. You got to tune it up. Hadn't touched it. It's fine tuning machine. That's a woman. It's a woman. And guys want to make women act like men, and men want women. Women want men to act like them. Look, the best I can be is an ugly woman. That's the best I can ever be. Is an ugly woman. So the best thing I can do is just be a hunk. If I want to act like a woman, I got a wife. I can let her be what God made her. And if she wants a man, she's got a husband. And what has America done? They haven't attacked women. They have attacked men to try to make men to quit being men. We love to break things. That's our nature. We love to protect. We want to break. We want to kill something. If it's nothing but time, let me kill something. We're always trying to fix what isn't need fixing. Why? Because we're attractive. Leave me alone and I'll crank up when you need me. But you tractors, you better be all that waxing. Tuning that Lamborghini up. Because if you don't, and it's not going to be a very good ride. And if you keep trying to ride without tuning up, it's going to be a breakdown one day. Is the pastor talking to smack or what in this room? All because of in between essence and role. And if you don't understand that, you'd never have a good relationship. Definitely wrong. The characteristic and expected social behavior of an individual, a function or position. Do you want to get who you are out of a function or position? That's what the world does. And God says, I never made man to get there. Because Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ left heaven and came, now you're talking about moving from uptown to the ghetto. When Jesus left heaven and came to earth, he moved to the ghetto. And never lost who he was. Why? Because his image was built off of his. Let me give you a secret. When you know who you are in your essence, you are sweet and unbelievable in your role. Eight minutes? Hey. I got eight, then one said six, one said five. I got some serious good helpers, don't I? Special needs. I'm going to talk about my helpers now. Galatians 3:26-28. Someone stand up and read that. That's a big letter. Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
For you are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek, bond or free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ.
Let me ask you a question. Is that an essence verse or a roles verse?
Essence
verse. Now, if you try to use that same verse and make it a role verse, you get confusion in the church. Because you start talking about men being pastors when that verse says there's neither man or female, Greek or Gentile, bond or free. And guess what some churches do? They'll take a essence verse and put it in a role, make it a role verse, and they can't follow what God said the church is supposed to be. Mr. Spock, could you please read this, Captain? Someone stand and read this. Thank you, Matthew.
Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in heaven.
Essence of Rose verse. Rose verse. You know what a lot of men will do? A lot of men will take an essence verse and make it a Rose verse. Because why would it be advantageous for a man to make it all verses, role verses?
So keep the thumb on
a woman. You submit to me. You ever heard those?
Oh, yeah.
You submit to me. You submit to me. That's because you don't understand. In discussing, talking, we are the same. And we make decisions together. When we come to disagreement and that lack of agreement starts causing problems in the relationship, I step out of my essence into my role, move so we can move along and not allow any decision ever come between us. I have never had to step out of my essence role with my wife in 17 years. Because we both understand essence and role. I always have to step in my roles first when there's turmoil going on in the home between my wife and the kids. I never walk in my home as a pastor. I'm not my wife's pastor. I'm not my children's pastor. I am my wife's husband and soulmate. I am my children's father. That will take the Board of Education and put on the seat of knowledge and quote a verse. I need thee every hour. Now, check this out. This is what's smoking. 2 minutes? Lie to me. Say it's four. One. Oh, it's getting lower. Now, check this out. Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband. Why does that verse say that? Why does it say it that way? Because of the Trinity. Yep. Guess what? To Christ. But guess why it says, wives, to your own husband. See, women don't have a problem submitting to men, just their husbands. Want me to prove it? Most women work for who? Men. And they keep their jobs. Can't hear you. See, you know, a woman, if a woman had a problem submitting to a man, they'd never have affairs. It'd be the man trying, and woman never would participate. The only reason a wife has a problem with a husband is because God made it a curse. He didn't say you have a problem submitting to all men. God in Genesis says you're going to have a curse, and it's going to be difficult for you to submit to your husband. We're going to talk about that some more as we go through this class. Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you what week either. Okay, we got to hurry. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Essence of role. 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 Now you can understand why at Antioch, we stand on the biblical aspect of understanding what is the essence verse and what's the role verse. And that's why in roles, women can never be pastors. Is it because they're less? Is it because they're not as smart? No. Women, you can outthink us and outremember us. That's crazy. And you're always playing a little trick on us. I bet you don't remember what I was wearing when we first met. And the man goes, his brain quit. The minute a woman asks him a straight question, brain just shuts down. Give me a hint. When did we first meet? First time she got mad.
Birthday. Tell me the birthday, I'd be like, November.
When we gonna get to the part? You know what? A man that submits to a woman in a job has no problem with it because he don't think he's submitting to the woman, he thinks he's submitting to the job and the position. He always separates. Because he can't think of two things at one time. It's true.
Is that why women say you want to talk to the man in charge and women know what's going on?
All the time. Yes, in May. Now, this thing don't want to stop, bro.